I'd like to begin this morning, if you would listen to me this morning as we begin. I want to begin with these first few slides as just a brief summary of really what the Bible's about, okay, and what the gospel is. And it's something we're going to go through these first few slides rather quickly, but I know that most of you are familiar with this, but this is something to try to help us when we're talking to someone maybe that's not familiar with the Bible. And there are many now that are out there that are not familiar at all with the Bible. And there are three big questions in life, okay? And really, when you talk to anyone, those three questions, everyone has to deal with these three questions. Somewhere along the way, you're going to have to answer them for yourself. Everyone has to answer them. And number one is, why am I here? Why am I here upon this earth? Number two is, what am I to do while I'm here? Right? Everybody's got to figure that out. What's the deal? Why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing while I'm here? And number three, how am I going to leave? How am I leaving this place? I mean, think about it. Those are three basic questions, aren't they? Well, I want to tell you, the Bible gives us the answer to those questions. I want to give you just a brief summary, and I say brief, I guess it's your definition of brief. What do you mean by that? But I want to give you a summary of really what the Bible tells us, what it gives us. First of all, we see from the Bible that God made man in His own image, after His likeness. He made him pure, holy, and happy. Okay, the Bible tells us that plainly, and we understand that. We were made by the Creator of the universe. However, we realize when we read the Bible, the first man was Adam, right? And Adam fell by disobedience. And so this disobedience brought death upon himself and upon his entire posterity. That means all those that came after him were plagued with death because of this. In this fallen condition then, man was morally helpless, unable to do anything to please God or save himself from the incurred penalty of God's violated law. Nothing man could do in and of himself to save himself. Couldn't do anything. Uh-oh, we lost something there. Hang on. So maybe we're back now. I don't know what happened. Oh, good old technology. Okay, so Adam fell by disobedience. Nothing he could do because of this, okay? Okay, anyway, so while mankind then is in his helpless condition, God mercifully provided for them a perfect remedy, okay? And this not only suited their needs, but also met the requirements of God's own government, so far that he can now be just in justifying everyone who truly believes in Jesus. Okay, so that's the thing, that God didn't just leave us in our helpless condition. He provided a remedy. Hang on 1 second. I don't want to be viewing. Okay. So now let's try. Okay. Now we're back. Okay. So, for the purpose of carrying out God's plan to remedy the situation of sin, okay, his plan for divine mercy, he carried it into effect, the salvation of the world. The Son of God himself became human, became flesh. God carried out his plan. He's going to carry it out through Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that Jesus tasted death for every man. He was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. He reascended to the heavens and offered his own blood in the Holy of Holies, not made with hands. And he was then crowned Lord of all, angels and authorities and powers being made subject to him. In other words, Jesus' plan to remedy man's fallen condition, God's plan was through Jesus. He sent Jesus down to do this. And so we see this here. We understand this. He then, according to his promise, talking about Jesus, he, according to his promise, sent the Holy Spirit then to qualify and help the apostles for the work of their mission. So after Jesus left this earth, he sent back the Holy Spirit to his apostles to help them in carrying out the work of their mission. The Holy Spirit's job was to convince the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, and to dwell in his saints as their comforter and sanctifier, helping their infirmities and strengthening them with might even to the inner man. That was God the Holy Spirit, his work in this plan, this overall plan or scheme of redemption of God. Well, salvation then, for all personal transgressions, is now promised to all who truly believe in Christ. All that believe, that are willing to confess his name before men, who are willing to repent of their sins, and in obedience to the authority of Christ are baptized into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This is what we call God's plan of salvation for us, isn't it? He has given that to us through his holy word. So here we go. All who are received into the kingdom of heaven on earth and who continue to give all diligence in living faithfully to the Lord will be admitted into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But those who neglect the gospel, who do not obey the truth, will be finally banished with an everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. So there it is, guys. There's the summary, a brief summary of the Bible. It answers the big questions. Why am I here? I'm here because the Creator of the universe created me in his likeness. Right, I am in the image of God. Because of Adam's sin, we all face death. And we've all sinned, and we all need a remedy for that. And God gave us that remedy, the great salvation that he has provided for us. So what am I to do while I'm here? I'm to glorify God. I'm to live for him. I'm to obey him. And how am I leaving? Well, it depends on what you do right here, doesn't it? If you neglect the gospel, you're not going to be living it. You're not going to be leaving it in a good way. If you will follow God, he will give us an abundant entrance into the kingdom of heaven. And that's the way we want to live. We just sung about the resurrection of Jesus. Because of His resurrection, we have the hope of being resurrected one day to live with Him. That's how we're going to leave this place. Okay, the Bible talks about Jesus coming back in the clouds, and He's going to take all of His people home with Him. That's how we're going to be leaving. But those that neglect this great salvation, what's going to happen? And really, that brings us to what we want to continue our focus on this morning. And that's found in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. It's very important, brethren, that we listen to this passage. You need to listen to all of God's Word, okay? But it's very important that you listen to this passage. In fact, the Hebrew writer tells you to do that. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And I've got it up here on the board if you don't have your Bible with you. Notice he says, therefore, we must pay much closer attention. Now, the therefore, anytime you see the word therefore, you got to ask yourself, what's it there for? Right? And so you've got to go back to Hebrews chapter 1 to see the context of what he's talking about. Hebrews chapter 1. Get over there. The very first verse of Hebrews chapter 1. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. Okay? In the times past, God spoke in the times past. He's talking about the Old Testament. God spoke to him in many different ways. He spoke to him in dreams sometimes. He spoke to him in visions. He spoke to them through the prophets. In all many different kinds of ways. He spoke to them sometimes through a burning bush. Right? All many different kinds of ways God spoke to them. But listen. But in these last days, He has spoken to us through His Son. You hear the finality in that? God used to speak in a lot of different ways in the Old Testament. But in these last days, He has spoken to us through His Son. Now, why do you think it's like that? God doesn't have to speak anymore, does He? Even though He speaks through His Word, okay, but He spoke to us through His Son. That goes back to our brief summary of the Bible. He sent Jesus down on the earth. Jesus came in the flesh to teach us about God, to teach us to die for us, to bring this great salvation. Now look what he says. Spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made this universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful Word. After He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. So He became as much superior to the angels as the name He has inherited is superior to theirs. And he goes on to finish chapter 1 talking about the fact that he is much superior to the angels. Now chapter 2 and verse 1. Therefore, since God has spoken to us by His Son, and His Son is superior to all angels and to anyone else, therefore we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard. You must pay much closer attention to what you're, lest you drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgressor and disobedience received a just retribution, here's the great question: how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard. While God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to His will. Notice a few things. We must pay much closer attention. Remember our context. He just got through talking about the fact that God has spoken to us by His Son, and His Son is much superior to all angels. And he goes on to say, well, if the word given by angels was important, and then if you disobeyed that, you were going to be in trouble, how much more then should we not listen to the words of Jesus, the words of His Son. We must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. Lest we drift away from it. Brethren, if we're not careful, we're going to be drifting away. There is no standing still in the kingdom of God. You're either moving forward or you're drifting away. Notice, here's the great rhetorical question. How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? If the word spoken through angels proved reliable, and every transgression or disobedience that the words of the angels, if you disobey them, you're going to receive a just retribution. How are you going to escape if the Son of God Himself, if you neglect that? You see that? See how powerful that is? It's not enough to have an angel come and spoke to you. God sent His own Son down to tell you what you needed to do, to give you the remedy for your sin. Now, I want you to notice something else with me before we leave this passage. Someone will say, well, I've already obeyed the gospel. I've already obeyed the gospel, so I didn't neglect it. Whew! And everybody's like, all right, good. We can sit back now and just wait till we die, right? Let's just sit back and do nothing. Notice this passage. Notice some words in here. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. The writer of the Hebrew letter, he's putting himself in here. He said, man, I can drift away from this. I've got to continue to do it. How shall we escape? I forgot to circle that one. Escape if we neglect such a great salvation. You see, brethren, we can all drift away. Whenever natural disasters occur, they're always... You know, you ever heard these sad human interest stories in which people died because they delayed in their actions to make themselves safe? I was going back and they did a study. This was Harvard study back several years ago. And they were talking about when they send out evacuation warnings for hurricanes on the coast. You know, they have plenty of warning, you know, when a hurricane's coming. It's not like a tornado where it just hits, you know, and 10 seconds later, boom, it's gone. I mean, they know sometimes days in advance, right, that how big and how powerful the storm's going to be that's going to hit this. And they said that this was back in 2006. In 2006, 1 in 4 would not heed the evacuation orders. And another 9% of that, okay, so 34% of the people were unsure whether or not they should heed them or not. But you know what the reason was for why they wouldn't heed it? Because every one of them thought that their house was different. Every one of them thought that their house was strong enough to withstand it. Now, you know what? They're just talking about the people in the trailer parks. You know, they don't have a lot of strength. So my house is different. My house is stronger. We can withstand it here. It's kind of interesting to me. That was their reasoning. Well, isn't it infinitely more sad to consider that the same thing happens to people on a spiritual level? And so the design of this lesson, brethren, is to cause us to think so that we don't regret neglecting a great salvation, the great salvation that God has provided. There are dangers, brethren, in delay. There are dangers in delaying God's great salvation. Brethren, the warning has been sounded. Okay? It's not like that we're just sitting around waiting for God to tell us to get ready or waiting for that. The warning has been sounded. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3 says, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? You remember in John chapter 6, Jesus himself, he's teaching and he's saying some things that are very hard for the people to understand. And because he says, man, you're going to have to partake of my bread, of my body, okay, in order to have life. And all that, and the people are just scratching their head. They're like, what in the world are they talking about? We're just wanting some physical food here, right? You know, we're just wanting to be fed. And he's talking about feeding us his body and doing all these things. Many people left him that day. And he turns to his disciples and said, you're going to leave me too? And you remember in John chapter 6 and verse 68, Simon Peter answered him, good old Simon, right? Good old Peter. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Jesus is the only place that we can turn to. He's the only one that we can go to. There's no excuse for us, brethren, if we're caught unprepared. How many sermons have we listened to? How many Bibles have we owned? How many Bible classes have we attended? There's no excuse. No excuse, brethren, for neglecting this great salvation of God. The dangers in delay, the dangers in neglecting this. Number one is the danger of a hardened heart. And in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, it says, take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Notice that it says here that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Exhort one another every day. Brethren, we need to be exhorted. We need to be encouraged every day. Every day to keep pressing on, so that we may not be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. A hardened heart, brethren, is what can happen if we neglect the great salvation of God. Don't think that you can just continue in sin and it not have any effect upon you. It will have a great effect upon you. The dangers and delay is a hardened heart, but there's also something else. If you delay, brethren, there's something else that can happen, and that is your death. I looked this up just because I was thinking about this and I was trying to remember. Georgetown University, world death rate. 65 million people in the world every year die. 65 million people. That equates out to about 178,000 people a day in the world, which equates out to about 7,425 people an hour, which equates out to about 120 people every minute die. Now, in the U.S. alone, the U.S. is a very small population compared to the total world, right, population. It's about 297 people per hour in the U.S. die, and that's about 5 people per minute. 5 people in the United States, every minute, 5 people pass away. You see, the Bible tells us plainly, just as is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment. So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for Him. First of all, it says, is appointed for man to die once. You know, when we have an appointment, right, you may have a dentist appointment, and if something happens, you know, or if you get up one morning and you stump your toes, oh, I'm going to call and cancel that dentist appointment. You know, my foot's hurting a little bit. I'm going to cancel that appointment. You know, sometimes you look for a reason to cancel it, right? Oh, well, I just don't feel good today, right? I can't push that off a week or a month or whatever. Brethren, you're not going to push off this appointment. The appointment of death is going to happen to all of us. But brethren, we don't have to fear death if we are ready. If the Bible, as the Bible says here, Jesus is going to come back again, and he's not going to deal with sin then. He's already dealt with sin. That's what he came back to, that's what he came the first time for. He came the first time to deal with sin. He's going to come back the second time to take us home. How are you going to leave this world? How are you leaving? I'm leaving with Jesus. How are you leaving? You see the point? There is no other way. Those who are eagerly waiting for him. The danger is in delay, brethren, because there's a hardened heart. It can cause a hardened heart. Our death may come upon us if we delay and we don't realize it. How many people, brethren, how many people will die today? We looked at the statistics. In the world, 178,000 people will die today. How many people are going to die today having no idea when they woke up that this would be their last day? Dangers and delay can cause a hardened heart. Our death could happen. And also the return of Jesus. Now see, brethren, if we're prepared, if we are not neglecting that great salvation, then we can eagerly call Jesus to come on. Right? We're saying, man, come on, don't delay. But if you're not ready, what is your prayer? Please don't come today, Lord. Right? Don't come today. Give me more time. Because once Jesus comes, brethren, it's over. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 11 talk about this. And Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 3, he's talking about those that are scoffers. Okay, there are many people out in the world that want to try to prod, you know, and make fun. What? Jesus is coming back? Well, where is he? He said he was coming. He's not here yet. It's been 2,020 years. He's not here. He hadn't come back. You know what Peter says to that? The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise. Okay, there's one promise in consideration here. That's the promise of him coming back. As some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. And then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. The day of the Lord will come like a thief. Now, brethren, we've talked about this many times, right? When does a thief come? He's gonna come when you least expect it. He's not going to come when you're sitting there waiting right at the door. He's going to come when you least expect it. That's how Jesus is going to come. You cannot wait and say, you know what? Let's just wait and we'll just prepare once we hear him. When we hear the trumpet call, then we'll pray to God, right? Then we'll do it. It'll be too late then, brethren. It's just like in Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, you remember the parable of the 10 virgins? Some were prepared, some were not prepared. They announced the coming of the bridegroom. Those that were not prepared said, oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Right? And they say, hey, give us some of your oil. I said, no, we can't do that. If we give you ours, we won't have enough. Why don't you go to the store and buy some? Great idea. We'll go buy it. They go by it and the king comes, the bridegroom comes while they're gone. And the Bible says, and he shuts the door. And when they come back, they beat on the door and say, let us in, let us in. He's like, I'm sorry, I don't know you. But you think about that. Once God shuts the door, when Jesus comes back, the door's going to be shut. It'll be too late to prepare then. We must prepare now. We cannot neglect the great salvation. Well, brethren, we understand the dangers of neglect. What about the reasons for neglect? You know, someone says, well, you know, I want to obey. I want to follow God. But man, there's just so many fun things out in the world. You know, there's so many fun things that I want to do. And there's pleasures. And I can't do those things once I become a Christian. You ever heard someone say that? So I got to do this now, and then I can become a Christian. Or they come here, they've fallen back in the world, said, man, there's so much fun out there. Moses understood this. In Hebrews chapter 11, in 24 and 25, Moses made the decision to follow God instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. Yes, brethren, there's pleasure in sin, but it's fleeting. It's only for a very small time, and it passes away. And Moses understood that. He says, man, I'm not going to allow that to destroy my eternal soul. I can be with God forever. The deceitfulness of sin, brethren, can cause us to neglect the great salvation. Also, the fact that, you know what, man, we're just super busy, aren't we? Every one of us in here, boy, we're just super busy. I got too many things going on. You remember the parable of the great banquet in Luke chapter 14? He invited all these people to the banquet, to this banquet, right? And they started making excuses why they couldn't come. I mean, one guy says, well, you know, I bought these oxen. I need to go try them out. Okay? Maybe the equivalent today would be, man, I got this brand new backhoe, and I got to go try it out, right? I got to get this going, or we might say, I got this brand new zero-turn lawnmower that I got to go work in, you know, go mow the grass in the yard, right? I got to go try it out and see how it works. One man said, well, I got married. Okay, I just got married, you know, and I'm not going to be able to come. I'm not going to be able to do this or that. I don't have time. You remember Felix? What did Felix say? Well, when it's more convenient for me, I'll do it then. Too busy. By the way, back on the parable of the great banquet, guess what? The owner there didn't accept any excuses. They can give them all day long, but he didn't accept them. They lost that invitation. They lost out on the greatest invitation there is. Some people neglect things because they think they have plenty of time. We've already kind of hit that some, right? About the fact that we all think that we've got 70, 80, maybe 90 years, and then some people get 100 years. Man, isn't that great? Right? They get 100 years and they got plenty of time. So right now, I'm only 20-something, or I'm only 30-something, I'm only 40-something, or 50-something. Man, some people live 100. If I'm in my 50s, I could still go another 40 years. Right? I got plenty of time to do that. Yet you do not know what will happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen today, do we? We don't know what's going to happen today. And someone says, well, 2020, that's a good year to let us know. We don't know what's going to happen, do we? You don't know what's going to happen. You know, if people make to-do lists, things to do, what do you do first? The things that are urgent, don't you? I got to get that done. You know, some of these things I can push off to tomorrow, push off to next week, push off to next month. but I got to get this done today. I got to do these today. And some people neglect God's salvation because it's not urgent to them. Well, whenever it gets urgent, then I'll do it. Well, brethren, the devil will make sure it never becomes urgent to you. Don't delay your soul's salvation. If you are a Christian who has not repented of some sin, do so now, brethren. If you are a Christian, you have an avenue with the Father. That means you can pray directly to God. You don't have to go through a priest. Okay, you don't have to go through anyone else. You can pray directly to God. You need to do that. Don't delay it. Don't put it off. If you are not a Christian, come to Jesus today. We've already talked about the very beginning. We talked about the summary of the gospel, what it's all about, what Jesus has done for us. But if you hear and believe the gospel of Christ, repent of any sinful living, repent of your sins, confess your faith in Jesus as God's Son, you can be baptized into Christ. And then you live the rest of your life for Jesus Christ. You don't just say, okay, I checked the boxes. We done it. Boom. Now we can go back and live in the world and do whatever we want to do. We live for God. Remember, what am I to do while I'm here? I'm here to glorify God. I'm here to live each day for Him. And I'm here, brethren, listen, to take as many people with me as I can. God works through us. God works through us here on this earth. If we don't tell someone, if we don't show someone, who's going to? Don't delay your soul's salvation. Remember the words to the song, "Why Not?" Why not? Why not come to Him now? 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2 says, "Now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation." I thank you for your attention this morning. Why do you wait? That's what God is asking you. Why do you wait? We can help you this morning in becoming obedient to Jesus Christ and living the rest of your life for Him. If we can help you in any way, we urge and beg you to come while we stand and sing.